Okay. PIV, what is it? In a nutshell, the federal government is trying to combine different identity systems, different authorization systems, to basically create a trusted to create a trusted identity. And wow, I'm really tongue-tied all of a sudden. Sorry about that. Looking for... Okay, this is my first time. I'm a little rough at this. Basically, what we have is a complex little embedded system called a smart card. It's supposed to hold very sensitive information that should not be copyable, should always work when asked with the right way. In other words, you authenticate to it and it works. Problem is, there's so many different ways to do it. The federal government came up with CAC, amongst a number of other things before that. And then their latest round has been PIV, Personal Identification Verification. This system, while roughly the same, they got a little bit better on the standards, a little bit more commonality, and then basically, now, the biggest problem is, I thought I had another slide in there, oh well. Biggest problem is the trusted identity can't be trusted unless the platform that's representing it can be trusted. That's where the certifications come in. That's where a lot of the assurances need to be established. Basically, for those that don't know, smart cards, basically a small embedded device with one or more little chips on it that are intended to use low power, be resistant to flexing and breaking, because quite frankly, you sit on them half the time. And they need to be able to not be copied and be secure. In essence, they're a poor man's HSM. You have the same security requirements as HSMs, but in a smaller package that is actually more attackable. So a lot of hard work has gone in by a lot of people to make the hardware better. These certifications that we're talking about and that I've gone through with our card basically are the assurance level that the specifications are being met and that the information put on these can be trusted. Basically, you have the typical hardware-software stack of an embedded system. Hardware at the bottom, firmware and system services in the orange, and one or more software pieces or applications that you see in the blue. In our case, wait, I'll get into that. But basically, in our case, we had two crypto modules in one card. Come on, I push the button. It didn't advance. Okay, what are you doing? Huh, the computer locked up. Literally. Okay. Yeah, we still need the mic.
Oh, perfect.
You wrote it down.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm not supposed to use those, basically.
It's Windows.
I guess we just don't worry about the slides and we continue on. Okay, a little bit about what's unique with our solution basically, the only reason I bring this up is because it points out some of the issues in certifications in general. Don't worry about that. Basically, we have two chips on the card, one for RF, near field read, and one for contact. Not the typical way to do it. In fact, most people couldn't even figure out if that was allowed. We even pointed out to our lab, look here in FIPS 201. There was one line that said one or more chips. And it comes up to a very important point. It is extremely important to read the specs. And I say again, read the specs. There are nuances that even the labs and testing environments may not realize are there. We've run into that a number of times in our evaluations. The issues of having multiple chips within one package, where you draw your security boundary, your crypto boundary, is crucial. Do you put it around, in this case, the whole smart card, which would include any antennas or contacts on it? Do you go in a little bit? Do you go all the way down to the individual chip? Do you go inside the chip? It's all critical in how you... What is going on with the throat? It's basically critical in the work it takes to put it together. And sometimes, if your crypto boundary is in the wrong place, it may make it so you can't even certify the thing. Work with your lab. Getting distracted. Basically, work with the lab that you choose very closely to figure this out. And that brings up another important point that we ran into. Which lab you choose makes a tremendous difference. You need to find a lab that works with your company and that the people that you're interfacing with work with your people. If there isn't a synergy there, you could spend a lot of money and get nowhere. We've run into that a couple times and gone through several labs before we found one that we really liked. In our case, we were not actually building the cards themselves. We were working with a number of partners to build them. The certification process then just became more difficult because you have to get each of the partners, the card manufacturer, the chip manufacturer, the OS developer, and our stuff all together and get all of it certified properly. We have a split certification, physical at one level, firmware at another level, software at another level. That is possible. Now, the overall is the lowest of all of them. Not the great speech. I was going somewhere with that. Got too distracted here. Okay, we'll get back onto those slides, I guess. But basically, there are a lot of factors and even a number of different certifications to go through. Not all crypto modules need the same certifications. In our case with the PIV, we needed four levels. CAVP, basically to certify that each algorithm was working properly on each chip. CMVP, to go through and make sure that the cryptographic processes, protocols, memory clearing, and all that was done properly. The NPIVP, basically to make sure that our APIs, the card level communication, all worked. Quite frankly, the easiest ones up there, CAVP and NPIVP, those two are the easiest by far. CAVP, while it takes time to run, basically it's not hard to do. On small embedded devices, you may go through a couple devices though before you get done with it. Some of the tests will destroy the hardware because of the number of write cycles or whatever else, depending on how it's written. Most of the time, not an issue. Then there's the GSA, which basically pulls the whole package together, and whatever wasn't covered in the other ones is covered by them. At least that's the way it was when we went through it. Now I think they're looking more just at the physical security, like for opening doors and so on, physical access. Each of these take the, let's see, what's the next one? Yeah, I already talked about that somewhat. And that. Ah, here we go. Some of these processes are going to take a significant amount of time. CAVP, not long, a little bit of time to program the test harness, to figure out what the test cases inputs and outputs are, do some pre-testing, so on. Yeah, about 2 weeks or so, if you've been through it before, month and a half max, if you have a lot of algorithms. The actual testing time on the lab side, I was getting turnarounds in about a day for some of the tests. So that wasn't a major issue. CMVP, I put 3 to 6 months. That was after we had already put all the stuff together. That was basically for the actual certification process. So probably more realistic overall is probably closer to 9 months or a year to go through that. NPIVP, basically we had lab representative come in, we sat with them, walked through, okay, these are the different algorithms that we support. What combination do you want on this card? He puts it into his test appliance, runs through, done. Basically that testing was a day once we had the structures in to configure the cards. The GSA stuff, there's different parts to that. I wasn't involved in all of it, but estimates about 2 months or so. Probably the key things are on here. My first point, you've got to really understand the specs. It's so easy to miss a nuance in there. One sentence, one paragraph, one word in some cases makes a difference. And it's so easy to put the wrong, or to think it means one thing, but it's not quite. Get the terminology right. It all comes back to, what are the requirements? Read the specs. And the labs don't always know all the nuances of the specs. So if you disagree with them, talk with them, walk through it. In correlation with that, the IG, the internal guidance documents that are available. When I first went through this, I didn't even know they existed. The boundary of where you put the cryptographic boundaries matters. If you put it too broad, much more effort. In our case, we had a separate OS vendor. Having them to really support you and having them already gone through the process is of benefit for those people that, no, I don't need to go there. I was a little dismayed with PIV in that they fell short. They didn't go far enough, I believe. The whole management side of PIV in the specifications is not there, and it really should be. because there's too many different ways that it can be done. And that means interoperability suffers. Oh, post-tests. Post-tests for a big appliance, okay, we can tolerate the startup time. Take your smart card that has all these post-tests, go up to a door reader, have to wait 3-5 seconds. You start to get, in a big building, long queues of lines. Not good. The post-test for 140-2, for small embedded devices like smart cards, are not proper. I've been waiting for 140-3, but now there's talk of going to ISO, and that provides other challenges. They help with some of the post-test, but then you have the signature of the code. Very ugly. Because it's just too expensive for these small devices. They're not made to handle that. Once again, the testing lab matters. And if you're not getting the support you need from your current lab, consider looking at some other ones. There's other ones out there, and the level of support and the way they interact with you can be different, normally is a little bit different. Find the one that works with your company, that works with you. It was extremely painful for us, for one of ours. Cost us a lot of money. Kind of a recap there, but... Oh yeah, that last point. Exactly how you word things in the security policy can make a big difference in the final reviews. Basically, there was one spot we put in a little extra wordage, the verbiage, that delayed our certification about 2 weeks because we had to go several rounds to get it fixed up and pulled out. It got missed by one level review. Yeah, it's a little bit touchy. Work with the labs very closely. They are there to help you through it. I know this was a little rough. I'm not the best speaker in the world, but if you have any questions, I'd like to open the floor. Guess not.
Okay, thank you very much, Roger.
Thank you. So I imagine this is just up, down, normal?